The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
The 1-0, and a swing and a fly ball, deep left field. Gardner back, it's gone! George Springer with a three-run homer. And the Astros have taken a 3-1 lead. Here's the 0-1, and a fastball is hit hard. Deep left field, it is gone! Correa with his second home run of the series. This one is a three-run shot, and it gives the Astros a 6-1 lead here in the Bronx. No Britton, no Chapman, obviously. The 1-2 is a swing and a bouncer to second, and it eats up Torres, and everybody's going to be safe again.
Still had the out at first.
He did, yep. He was in on the edge of the grass, and he wanted to come home. The ball came up, bounced off his body. Bregman scores. Gurriel safe at second. Alvarez safe at first. E4, third error committed tonight by the Yankees. 3-2. A swing and a little jam shot to shallow left will drop in for a base hit. In to score is Altuve. It's an RBI single for Brantley to make it 8-3. And the first pitch to Torres is in the air to right field. Springer coming over towards the line. He has room, and he makes the catch in fair territory down the line, and that is the ball game. The Astros take game four. They beat the Yankees by a score of 8-3. Truly, the Yankees beating themselves as much as the Astros winning the game, but credit to the Astro pen, credit to Springer and Correa with the big hits, and the Astros, my friend, are one win away from going to the World Series.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, that was impressive last night. One more tonight, or does it go into the weekend? We'll find out. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN975 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you wish to watch us on Twitch, put your comments in the chat room. You're ready to go. And it's a Friday, so no BS. Only here for 2 hours, too.
Yeah, we're not here to mess around, bro.
Game 5, Astros-Yankees tonight at 6 p.m.
Indeed.
Right here, clincher. Right here on the station.
Could it be the clincher?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it being the clincher, actually.
Okay.
The way the Yankees were kicking the ball around last night.
Boy, that was rough to watch. Good for the Astros.
No, it was fun to watch if you're an Astros fan. I got to tell you.
Let's just say it was bad baseball.
It was, but I got to tell you, if you're not a fan of one of the teams, playoff baseball is unwatchable. I mean, these games are too damn long. There's too many pitching changes.
They are long.
And we're in an ADD society. And if it weren't the Astros,
I like how you say playoff games.
Well, but that's what baseball in general, yes. But the playoff games are worse.
Yeah, they're a little longer.
They're longer. And but you know what? They got it done. It was good to see some of the bats wake up. It was good to see Springer and Correa go deep. Thought Greinke did a good job of keeping him in the game. I was a little surprised that they took him out when they did, because it looked like he was, you know, he was hanging in there. And then when they brought in Presley, I'm like, oh,
well, God. Regular season, that would have never happened.
No.
And Presley got himself into a bad situation.
And then got out of it. Which I like seeing, because he's been struggling. So he came up big. And then
it felt like that at bat with Torres at bat with the bases loaded.
Hey, did you know Torres is 22 years old?
A, I don't know if I believe that.
I mean, but they bring
B,
it up.
So I've heard.
They bring it up every single time he comes to the plate. 22-year-old Gleyber Torres at the plate.
But it felt like if Torres did damage there, then the Astros were going to be in trouble. And instead, he strikes out on a check swing. And it felt, I thought either way, it was going to be the at-bat of the game. And it went the Astros' way. And the Yankees never had another chance like that.
No, and I still think, and believe me, you can come back
believe
from
3-1. Believe me, you can come back. You can come back
best,
from 3-1.
The best teams can
the
come back.
The pollsters are often wrong. They're often mistaken. Believe me.
Remember what happened with Crooked Hillary.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, they can come back. And obviously, you know, if you beat Verlander today, then that's going to give you some momentum going into tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But for all the people who kept saying, well, push Verlander back to game six, and that gets even dumber by the day because you couldn't do a bullpen game today after the way you used those guys yesterday.
And the other thing is, if you use Verlander today, guess when his next regular rest day would be? Would be right for game two.
Yeah.
So if
in a perfect world, you're going to have...
You'll either have Grinky Verlander, or if Verlander loses today, you'll have... If Verlander loses today, you'll have Grinky Verlander. If Verlander wins today, you'll have Cole Verlander, game one and game two.
Yeah, ideally, you close it out tonight or tomorrow.
Sure.
And then you've got Cole for game one, Verlander for two, and then Grinky can play in Washington where he can hit because he's a pretty good hitter. A
very good hitter.
So that's ideally how you hope it plays out. But, you know, let's...
But if you don't pitch Verlander tonight, and let's say the bullpen game you lose... And you pitch Verlander tomorrow now. Now he's not on regular rest until game three of the World Series. And in fact, he's on extra rest. So now you've thrown off his rhythm once again.
Right.
So you mentioned yesterday, pitchers are creatures of habit. They want to be in a groove. And they want to pitch every fifth day. And this is an opportunity to let Justin Verlander pitch every fifth day.
Yeah, and just... As a final kind of nail in that coffin, wouldn't you rather have your inexperienced guy pitching at home as opposed to Yankee Stadium? I mean, at least he's pitched there. He knows he's going to be more comfortable there. It doesn't mean you're going to lose your Keady game, but it doesn't mean you're going to win your Verlander game either.
Right.
And you know that's the thing. What the trap you fall into here with the 3-1 lead is, well, we got three chances. And, okay, let's say you don't win today. Oh, we still got two chances. And that could easily become, uh-oh, it's winner take all. You only have one chance, but so does the other team. And that's why at 3-1, I'm never, and maybe it's the Houston sports fan in me, I've seen it too many times, I'm not ready to anoint them just yet because so much can...
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Well, did Coleman Milk cause that burp?
I don't know.
Is that Burt brought to you by Coleman Milk?
That was brought to you by Topo Chico.
Oh, okay. So, just wanted to check. 408. But, I don't think it's over by any stretch of the imagination, but obviously you love where you are. You got a chance to clinch it with Justin Verlander. And, man, if you end it tonight, it sets up everything perfectly for you, which you're going to need because, you know,
Because the Nationals are set up.
They're no joke. And if you just break it down by... certain groups. I mean, the Astros, better lineup, no question, better defensively. This will be the first time in the playoffs they have a better bullpen than their opponent. But the Nationals may be the only team in baseball that not only matches, but I think better in the rotation because they go deeper.
Yeah.
They go four deep. And so, I mean, it'll be a great series, but let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet. Because it's not done. And I got to see, you got a burp in, and I got a Pulp Fiction reference in the first segment.
And you know, do they have a deeper lineup? Yes, but that's not to say that the Nationals don't have a good lineup.
No, of course.
Particularly, I mean, especially since the second half came around and they really started to click. And you know, I'm looking it up now because I don't want to. They've scored the second most runs in the National League this season, only behind the Dodgers. So it's a capable...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they suck. I'm just saying the Astros have the advantage there.
Yes.
Lineup-wise. But they've got some really good players. And
also the highest batting average in the National League, the Nationals. So I mean, it's a good hitting team.
And, you know, they're getting a lot of a lot of guys who are in their 30s that one of the things that MLB Network focused on the other day that have had great seasons for him.
Well, and they also have a guy, much like the Astros do, they have an upcoming free agent that has really just blown his game up at the right time. And Anthony Rendon, who is going to, he's going to probably be the highest paid position player this offseason.
Yeah.
He's going to make a ton of money too. And whether it's with the Nationals or someone else, my guess is someone else, unless he's some sort of a World Series hero. And then the Nationals are kind of bent over a barrel. But they've got a guy who's really found, I don't want to say late in his career, because it's not like he's an old man, but much like Gerrit Cole, it took him a while to turn into what he's turned into. And now that he's turned into it, it's like, oh man, that guy is something. And then they've got, I mean, even guys like Howie Kendrick, who's like 100 years old, has had a fantastic playoff series.
And getting back to last night, I don't understand what people expect out of Greinke. Like somebody even tweeted me last night.
They expect him to be Verlander or Cole.
He's not. And that's the thing. You can't measure him by the Verlander and Cole standard, just like you can't really measure him by the Scherzer-Strasburg standard.
There's not many number three starters in baseball that you'd rather have than Zach Greinke. I mean, maybe the Dodgers have one.
Maybe.
That might be it, honestly.
And the thing is, he's not overpowering, but, I mean, he's terrific. I thought a great job last night of not giving in to the Yankees and giving them something to drive, especially considering I thought he got squeezed pretty badly by the ump.
The umpiring was all over the place last night for both sides, honestly. But I thought he did a great job, and I thought the Astros did a good job of forcing, and because the umpires were all over the place, so I know it's easy to complain about that part of it, but it was helpful in a way because it forced Tanaka to pitch places that he's not comfortable pitching, and the Astros punished it.
Yeah, so and that ball he threw to Springer, I don't know that he's put one in that position the entire time he's been out the last two.
But after you get squeezed a couple times, you start to get frustrated, and you're like, okay, if that's not a strike, where do I got to put it to make it a strike? And then you have to make it an actual strike, and Springer punished him. And that was the umpiring was a story last night, which is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, you don't want it to be.
And I think the score got to a point where it didn't matter either way.
Yeah.
But it was frustrating to watch when both teams were batting. I felt bad for both pitchers last night at times.
Yeah, because those are guys that live on the corners. And for them to be successful,
because they're not Gerrit Cole. They're not throwing it 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole can get away with that. He can make mistakes because he does throw so hard. Same thing with Verlander. But for those guys, it did take away from the game a little bit. But I also think, and getting into tonight's game, it's like I knew at some point these guys were going to start hitting. I think it's Bregman's turn and Alvarez's turn at this point. Those guys need to wake up, too.
Alvarez showed a little bit last night.
Yeah, he did. He had the one hit, and you could almost see the relief on his face at first base. He looked like he was celebrating his first ever hit, which it was in the series.
But, it came at a really opportune time. I think it was sort of a weight lifted off his shoulders.
All right, guys, we have to tell you about Lions Poker Palace, and there's still time to get into the $50,000 guaranteed tournament for only $120. In fact, the second flight today is at 5 o'clock, so if you're in your car, you can head over right now. You can late register up until 9:25, and then they've got two more flights on Sunday, on tomorrow, and then day two is Sunday. So you can play tonight, you can play tomorrow, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m., and make it to day two. That'll be on Sunday. Their cash games are only $10 per hour. And their first 60 cash players before 11:45 get free time all day and a free meal. George and Najib take care of their players.
And I know what you're thinking. Oh, Saturday, I want to watch football all day, or I want to watch the game. And Sunday, I want to watch NFL. I want to watch the Astros. Guess what? They've got TVs all over the place. So you can watch and play. BYOB. Their food is out of this world. You got to check it out, guys. Follow them on Facebook for all the information about the poker tournaments. And then go check it out for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue, one of the nicest rooms you'll ever see. That's Lions Poker Palace.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. And listen, it's starting to cool down. And if you need to make sure that your windows are not leaking before the winter chill sets in. They've been doing it for 48 years at Allstate Siding and Windows. They've been helping people save up to 40% on their electric bills by installing the best quality windows and siding. And you can get 25% knocked off your window package in October with no payments for 2 years. Simple as that. Family owned and operated for over 45 years. They've got military, first responder, and senior discounts. This is the kind of company you want to do business with. When you've been around for that long, for over 45 years, that means you know they're going to be there tomorrow. And you can't say that about everybody else. Remember, if you want the best rate, call Allstate Siding and Windows. Call them 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, or contact them online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I'm sorry if I'm a little distracted. We just had a dog emergency.
Dog emergency.
Somehow, like on Fridays, we take the puppy to daycare because we have the cleaning lady comes over. And that way I can come to work and do stuff here and don't have to worry about taking care of the dog. Well, she escaped from the daycare and ran home across two very busy streets. So I don't know what happened or how it happened. I'm just trying to get details now. So if I'm distracted, I apologize.
Well, that's all right.
If something happened to that animal, I would kill.
Who would you kill?
Whoever was responsible.
Oh.
So.
We have RJ Bell early in the show today. So this is going to be a super short segment. And we are going to come back and have RJ on for, I'm guessing, an extended segment.
Yeah, and we're going to hit a lot of this just RJ today. So we'll be able to hit a lot of the games. And so if you're used to us going through all the games at 5 o'clock, we're pretty much going to hit them all. And the ones we don't, we'll go over in 5 o'clock. Does that sound fair?
Sounds good.
And that way we don't have to do a whole segment on it. But, yeah, so it should be fun. Be good to get back to... I love having all those guys on, but you know, it's been a while since we just did a segment with RJ.
And unfortunately, it means we're going to take a break from our contest, even though RJ is dominating.
Yeah, well, maybe we all need a break. we need to regroup. I was kind of thinking, and again, I don't want to get too far ahead to the World Series, but I wonder if Wade Miley's had some time now to, because I think he wore down at the end of the season, not being active this series. Would you think about having him and
yes,
using him as a fourth guy?
Yeah.
I think I would, too.
Especially because, unlike the Yankees, where they were able to go in with no lefties on the roster because the Yankees are so predominantly right-handed hitting, the Nationals, you can't do that. You're going to have lefty guys on that roster. There's going to be some changes to that bullpen or to even to the rotation, possibly.
You know how many people are going to tell us we jinxed him if... We come
I'm
back
so tired of jinx. Like, grow up.
Yeah, no kidding.
What I tweet when I say ball game after the second three-run home, yeah. Everybody's like, you're going to jinx it. Guys, we're all grown men here. Let's.
Yeah, what we say is going to have no impact
just
on
like
the outcome.
You wearing your lucky shirt and yelling at your TV doesn't affect the outcome. I promise you.
Maybe you're just too stressed. How about we get rid of some of that stress, especially if it's being caused by high-interest credit card bills? We've got a solution for you. My friends over at Lightstream, you can pay off your credit card balances and save money with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, much lower than the national average interest rate. That's over 20%. I'm not good at math, but 5.95 versus 20%. And your rate's fixed, so as rates rise, your low rate won't budge. The online application is so easy. You can get on your phone and do it right now if you want. And you can even get the money as soon as the day you apply. They want people with good credit to get a better loan experience, so that's what they deliver. So just for the Blitzers, apply now to get that special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information. And every day I get a brand new start.
ESPN 97.5.
Well, guys, we're about to talk about a lot of betting, and you know where to do it, mybookie.ag. And if you're on another website, well, you're just silly, because mybookie.ag is the best. They're tremendous. And if you get on there, how about this? If you're new to them, your first deposit, they're going to double it, up to $1,000 in free money. How about that? And when you win, you get paid. It's the best part about it. And whatever sport you're into, if you want to bet the NFL, you want to bet the baseball tonight, you want to bet it this weekend, if there's games, you want to bet college football, mybookie.ag is the place to go. Now, if you want to double that first deposit, you have to use promo code radio. That's promo code radio at mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and you're going to get that exclusive double your money offer. And if you're already a member, just keep an eye on your emails. All the time, they're sending you things that you can get bonuses on, and that's why I love playing at MyBookie. Promo code radio, mybookie.ag. Play, win, get paid, MyBookie.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, it's the best time of the week. It's R.J. Bell time. I'm a little bit earlier than usual. And R.J., pregame.com, joins us as he does every week. What's going on, my friend?
I was thinking about it. I said, oh, you know, I could take the week off, get home early. Then I thought, wait, we're going to be exposed now to a different audience, because we know in radio, you guys have a lot of people, and this is rare, that listen to the whole show, but oftentimes it's a drive time thing. So people who are driving now know to tune in, what is it, 6 o'clock, right? 6:10 typically local?
Yeah, typically, yeah. And this week you're in the 4 o'clock hour, so it's...
Exactly. So now they can look at the podcast or whatever, or get home, eat dinner, and listen to this.
Well, Fezzik and Brad are out today, so we will take a week off from our contest, although...
Let's review the standings.
Yeah, you're in the lead, 5-1. I'm in second at 3-2-1. Fred's at 3-3.
And let's just say the rest are below you.
The rest are below us. Brad and Fezzik are 2-3 and 2-4, respectively.
Thanks for getting that on the record.
Although both of them got coming off a win. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, they dug themselves out of a little bit of a hole.
Now, here's what I'll say real quick is we are really doing something. Like, I enjoy when people say the record, but think about this. Last year, Super Contest Gold, $5,000 to enter, biggest contest in the world. We were tied for first with 2 weeks to go. 67%. Let's just say it wasn't so good from there. 2 weeks, didn't do great. But a lot of it was we were going meta game, which was we were being contrarian to what other people were betting because we wanted to win the thing. There was no second place prize, right? It was $640,000. So it was all or nothing. This year, we're 19-11 in the same contest. 67%. So if you take out the 2 weeks, I get it's a little arbitrary, but not really. We now have 15 weeks last year and 6 weeks this year. I think that adds a 21. 21 weeks at 67% in front of the world.
That's pretty strong.
It is. It's too strong. Yeah. It's not going to keep up.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we don't have the guys, we'll just kind of go through the games like we used to, old school style, and we'll see if there's anything that jumps out at any of us, have some good discussion on these things. We'll start with Cardinals and Giants, and it feels like everyone in the world is going to be on the Giants here, getting Saquon back, getting Evan Engram back. I know I'm on the Giants. I actually prefer the over a little bit just because I think you're looking at two really bad defenses and maybe an offense in Arizona that's figuring it out, an offense with the Giants that should be better with the return of some of those guys. What are you seeing with this number, and do you think that I'm being square again looking at the Giants like everyone else?
Here's the thing, though. Isn't there a square side on the other side? Which is, here's an Arizona team with the number one pick. Here's an Arizona team with a new coach. And they're coming in and they're being revolutionary, innovative, college concepts. You don't need to be 6 foot tall. 5'8's fine. And he is 5'8. I stood next to him at the Super Bowl. And I'm 5'10 and a quarter, if you're lucky, the quarter part. And I was towering over him. I'm serious. He is 5'8 if he's anything.
Well, he blocked me on Twitter for talking about his height.
Well, I'm sure he did. He got up on the stool and hit block. Yeah. So, I mean, here's what... That'd be fun. That'd be a funny skit. So here's what I'm saying. I think winning two straight games, you're getting as much of the young generation excited by that. Some people could say, you know, we thought Jones was good, But, man, last couple games, not so good. I'm not sure that Squareville isn't kind of equally on both sides here. I love the Giants. It's my favorite pick of the week. It would have been my pick, probably my third or fourth favorite pick of the year. And here, let's forget direction. Let's think numbers. Without Barkley, without the guys, and there was one other guy coming back.
Evan Engram.
Engram. Without those two, what would the line be? What is the handicapper line, meaning you want to split the result 50-50? What would you make the line?
I'm guessing probably, I mean, I don't think, I think Evan Engram's nice to have back. He's probably not worth a point to the spread, but I would guess Saquon is definitely worth a point, so I'm guessing minus two.
But no, you're just reversing what the current market is.
I'm saying
if you didn't know what the market was, and I said Giants last week, let's say he played last week, right? Because that's the situation we were in. Giants, Arizona, meaning the injured players were out last week.
Okay.
What would you made the line in New York?
I would have made it minus three, yeah, because I think these teams are about equally bad.
Exactly. So now you add Barkley. He's worth a point and a half in our numbers. I think you add the two up. It's certainly a point and a half. We're getting pure value. This would be a coin flip at three without Barkley. They've got him. Barkley represents the value. That's more than enough.
What about the total? You see this being a high-scoring matchup?
I agree, but here's what I would do, actually. I would go with the Giants offense team total. I think the Giants are going to do exceptionally well against this Arizona defense. I also think, though, there's a heck of a chance that Arizona could do well, but I'm more sure, if you think of it as quadrants, right? Home team offense against opponent defense, and you can imagine the quadrants, right? Boom, 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 boom. Which one in your handicap of the Giants do you feel strongest about?
As far as...
You got an edge. That this is going to be Giants are going to dominate, or the Giants are going to get shut down. That would be an opinion. So there's going to be eight opinions, right? Yay or nay on the Giants' offense versus Arizona's defense. The Giants' defense against Arizona's offense. And in that regard, which one of those matchups do you feel strongest about? And when I say quadrants, it could be that you thought pro-pro on the offense. Thus, you're going to like the over. You could think con-con on the offense.
Right.
So if
I'm
you think about those check boxes, it tells you what your pick should be.
Yeah, I'm pro-pro on the offenses, but my first one is Giants versus Cardinals defense. Giants offense versus Cardinals defense. I think that's the strongest box.
So this is a great example of derivative betting. You could put half your bet on the Giants team total over and half your bet on the game over. And you've isolated the areas you like most with double betting on the Giants.
All right. It's scary because all three of us love that bet.
Yeah. Well,
that was going to be my pick, too.
Let's roll through the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Fred's best bet was Giants this week. So,
I love it.
Let's roll through Texans-Colts next in rotation order. It's down to a one. And when it's a close matchup like this, and I think these teams are pretty evenly drawn out. I like the Colts coming off a bye. I think the Colts have... a really strong edge in coaching. I mean, obviously the Texans have some momentum right now, but I think maybe they're being a little bit overvalued in the market based on what they've done the last 2 weeks against teams that can't pass rush. So people are like, oh, the offensive line, it's finally gelled. Well, first of all, their number one pick, Tytus Howard, is out this week, and they've played against the 32nd and 25th ranked pass rush in the last 2 weeks. So, well, yeah, Deshaun didn't get sacked because those teams don't really sack anybody. I think in a close match, I like to lean with the coach that I think is better, and I think Frank Reich is a world ahead of Bill O'Brien. What do you think, RJ?
All right, so when you say that you think these are even, do you think they're even in that on a neutral field to be around Pick'em?
I think I would have them about Pick'em on a neutral, yeah. And honestly,
so you got to love the Colts.
I definitely
laying one at home.
I definitely like the Colts, especially
considering.
Then
why don't you love them?
Because the Colts coming off a bye, I'm not sure. I know the it's nice that they're getting healthy, but I do think there is something to the Texans have gotten into a rhythm. They've gotten into a little bit of a groove.
I don't see. To me, what's a definition of a flat spot? Like a flat spot in the NFL is saying that you've played some tough games, you've got some tough games coming up, and usually if you're looking to fade a team, it's because they won some tough games. This, to me, even though it's in division, feels flatty for. That's a new word for Houston, the team, because to me, I just feel like this team won't do well with success. I think Watson will. I mean, from all I hear, and I'm only going by what Sweeney said about him. Have you character wise, and I'm not talking about is he looking at porn at night, but as a team leader, is he as good as Sweeney kind of let on?
I think he's one of the guys that it's hard to question him.
And that's wonderful. So maybe he's going to be able to help the team in that regard. But to me, it feels like a spot where there's more talk about Houston in the last week before the game, you know, meaning from the game onward, right? I'm not talking about before. There's more talk since they beat KC than any time in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So to me, that's when I want to fade the team. And I agree with you that a coach who's less than excellent is the type of coach you especially want to fade. So this all fits to me. I really like the Colts. It's an old school handicap, right? You got the better coach off a bye. And he, you know, we looked into it the last couple years, even when he was a coordinator, they did, you know, offensively quite well after the bye when he was OC. And they got healthy. It all adds up. Now, you said something about the blocking. So name the guy you said that's hurt for Houston.
Titus Howard, their number one draft pick.
Okay, and he's been playing really well.
I don't know that he's necessarily been playing well, but the line in general as a whole has been playing well the last 2 weeks for the first time in 3 years.
Now, here's what's amazing, and you might have to eat some crow here. ESPN just came out with their advanced metrics on pass blocking, not run blocking. And they actually have their top 10 tackles, top 10 guards. And this is a play-by-play analysis, right? Next-gen stats level stuff. Third best tackle in football was Howard.
Oh, wow.
And look at it. Here's the other ones to see if it makes sense. McClinchy, I'm not a good player guy, for the 49ers. Brown for the Raiders. Howard for the Texans. A crazy name for the Packers. Bacacheri or something. O'Neal for the Vikings. Dawkins for the Bills. The Cowboys have Collins and Smith, 7-8. So, I mean, this pretty much lines up in many ways, it seems like, with assumptions. So that's encouraging for Howard. But not for this game.
The other thing that I think that you've got to consider is in the history of this matchup, the Texans are 3-14 at Indianapolis. 3-14 ever. They've never even beat them by a touchdown or more. One of those wins is in overtime. So they've historically struggled at Indy.
So the question becomes, is that a sign that there's something fundamental, that they have trouble with the Domer, or is that a sign that they just didn't have as good a team, and now that they do, they're going to play extra hard to exercise the demons?
I mean, they've had better teams than this. They couldn't go in there and get a win.
To be fair, a lot of those were Peyton Manning, too.
Yeah, but I think this is also this is their big rival, and for a long time they struggled to get over that hump. They didn't get their first win till at Indy until 2015. So they went the first 13 years of their existence unable to get a win at a division opponent's house.
So last question for me. If I had to say on a scale of 1 to 100, 100 is there's no chance they're not going to be motivated. 1 is, oh my gosh, they're so unmotivated. 50 being average. What is the motivation of Houston, do you think? Not conceptually, but what you're seeing from what you're reading, the press conferences, et cetera.
I would guess probably 60, 65.
So they're not. You don't seem extra flat, but maybe not as up as they should be for such a big game.
Well, I think that they looked at last week as a bigger game because the Chiefs are obviously, they were respected basically across the board as one of the best teams in the NFL. So I think, I mean, relative to that, there's definitely got to be a little bit of a letdown here.
But it's almost like if you win this game, you almost not got the division locked up, but you are driver's seat.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt. All right.
Moving down the line, let's get to next in rotation order. Well, I don't know if I want to spend a lot of time on Dolphins, Bills. I mean, I tend to think
I'll say one thing good. Is we did a study. We took all teams that won by 17 points or more, which it would take to cover or push this game. And we said, what was the total? Because this is a low total for such a high. It's 40 or so, 40 and a half. And what we said was, what we found out was, that if the total's 40 and a half or less, the odds of a team winning by 17 or more goes down 40%.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an under game. So I have a hard time giving 17 with the Bills. The Bills haven't been this big of a favorite since I was a sophomore
92.
In high school. Yeah, or even younger than that, I guess. I was in like seventh grade. So to me, it's Dolphins or nothing, but I tend to lean to the under in this thing.
Fred, is it true you were on your second wife in 92?
Second and a half by then, I think. Yeah.
I'm curious your thoughts on this Vikings-Lions matchup, because I know when we talked last week, you were talking about how the Lions-Packers line was so odd, and you think that there's something that Vegas knows about the Lions that we don't. And obviously, I think this number says they're getting a lot of respect again, because I think the Vikings are one of the better teams in the NFC. Yet the Lions only 1.5-point dogs. I guess some money's come in on the Vikings. But do you think that game last week with the Lions-Packers and it never moving off the number, do you think that was more of a reflection of the Lions or Packers now that we've got hindsight?
Great question. And I know for sure and it was negative Packers, not pro lines.
Okay.
And we didn't know. We knew the line of 3.5 was funny. It implied the lines were better than the Packers on a neutral because Green Bay has a 4-point home field amongst the best in the NFL with Seattle, with New Orleans. Well, how could that be? Who could think the Lions are better? Well, the biggest bettors did, but it wasn't because they liked the Lions. Because you look at this game, if anything, this line's showing the Vikings a lot of respect, I think. I mean, let's do the flip-a-rooney is 6 points to go to Minnesota, right? 3 to neutral, 3 to Minnesota. So we're looking at it being like 7, 7.5. Would you look at that as cheap?
No.
I mean, yeah, so that's the trick with the road team, or road favorites. And it is interesting, the Green Bay against the Vikings was 3, or I'm sorry, Green Bay against Detroit was 3.5 at home, and Minnesota would be 7, 7.5. That's implying Green Bay's 4 points worse than Minnesota? Okay, is this week the line's even crazier? Let's call it 5. It's 4.5, it's 5.5, let's call it 5. 4 points for home field. Green Bay is 1 point better than the Raiders on a neutral? What the heck is going on? There are major forces at work betting against Green Bay, and the bookies know it. They don't even want the bets because that's why you're not seeing the line drop. They got caught wind of it and got it out there early at a number. And I don't know if they're right. They're usually right. That's why we're scared. Everyone should be scared. They're betting millions sometimes on a game, and I think it's anti-Green Bay, and we'll talk about that game a little bit coming up, I guess, but it really tells you. If I could make a bet, like a season win total from here on Green Bay, as long as the number was fair, I'd make a monster bet on the under. Pessimism about the Packers from the betting market.
Does that mean that you lean with the Raiders this week, or is it just something that you, because you don't understand it, you're staying away from?
No, but I think the line, I didn't like the lines last week. Meaning, if the line last week had been 6, 5.5, like it should have been, by all appearances it should have been, meaning before the game, I would have loved Detroit. But they took the value out of it. Here, if the Raiders were 7, Fezzik comes out. We put out the Associated Press lines. We are the exclusive pregame.com, exclusive odd provider for Associated Press. We put out a world opener, really, Sunday afternoon. No one else has lines yet. Fezzik, we talk about it. He's the anchor. He had the opener this week, 7, against Oakland. If I asked you what you expected the line to be, what would you have said, guys?
I would have said probably about 6, 6.5.
So you think the Raiders are 2 points better than Green Bay?
I mean, based on...
Oh, I'm sorry, 2 points worse than Green Bay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, I mean, did anybody expect
the
Raiders
to... high on the Raiders.
I mean, the Raiders have proven everybody wrong. What'd they do in London against the Bears, a game that nobody said they could win.
That's a Huey take, though. One game doesn't mean anything, right? What was the line in that game? 5.5 or 6, right?
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Chicago, Green Bay on a neutral. What do you got? Just gut feeling. Boom.
Probably Green Bay 2.
All right. So you think Green Bay is 2 points better than Chicago? Chicago's 5 points better, or it was perceived a week at one game ago, 5 or 6 points better.
On a
the
neutral.
Close was 6. So now you're saying then Green Bay would be 8 points better than the Raiders.
Well,
and thus the line should be 12.
And here's what I'll say about the Raiders. Their two losses are to the healthy Chiefs and at Minnesota.
Did you make a monster bet on the Raiders last week?
No.
In London?
No, I didn't. I wish I would have.
So all of this is being swung by one game.
Not just one game, but they won at Indianapolis. I mean,
then that should have led you to bet the heck out of them in London.
Then at what point do you take good data points and say, okay, we can count these now?
You don't go from giving it hardly any consideration to full consideration. That's the trick. Whatever you had, but whatever you thought of the Raiders before, you can't move more than a point, 1.5 at most.
Okay.
If you are, then one of them was really wrong.
Well, here's a question based on the Packers-Lions result. If Jamal Williams runs that in and the Packers cover there, is the line this week different?
A half point maybe, but I don't even think it is because I think the syndicates are betting. They're way, this is a cat and mouse game. It's almost like if you're going to get served papers for court proceedings and they're waiting outside, what are you going to try to do? Jump out the back? Who knows, right? You're going to try to get away. Well, right now, the person serving the papers or the syndicates waiting for the bookies to pop their head out because they want to bet against the Packers. I don't think anything is going to get this Packers line up.
Okay, guys, let me jump in because we have to take a quick break, but we'll have more with RJ Bell in just a moment. Right now, I have to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions, and they can do so many things for you. If you want something new, They've got you covered. Custom outdoor kitchens, patio covers, fire features. Hey, guys, it's cooled off. Now's the time to get all this set up. And, hey, if you need to renovate, even better. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. And the great thing about carved stone overlay is it gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less. It's very durable, 2 times stronger than concrete. And how about this? Tons of monthly payment options that even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. That's why people say so many great things about Allied Outdoor Solutions. They're an accredited member of the Better Business Bureau since 2009. They've even got an A-plus rating. You can't beat an A-plus rating. So stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 in the Beltway today or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400, 713-465-0400.
Is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about TGS Insurance, and it's so simple, it's so fast, and man, can you save some money with TGS. And maybe you just had a close call with Imelda, and you're like, man, I really got to get some flood insurance. Okay, figure out what you're paying for your home insurance now, and then text MONEY to TGS at 232323. Text the word MONEY to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back. They'll send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And, man, you could start saving big dough. You might save enough that you, the flood insurance isn't even going to up your rates from what you're paying now. The average customer saving over $870. And if you're stuck with the other guys, you feel stuck, you're not. TGS will get you out of that old contract and in with them so you can start saving money today. One more time, text the word MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and let's get right back to it with R.J. Bell.
All right, let's skip down to, we'll skip over Niners, Redskins. Let's get to
Red. By the way, I like the Reds. Or,
I like
by
the
way, I like the
game.
Niners. And I hear you, but I'm talking now.
Okay.
I like... It's like you. How many hours a week do you do?
15.
And I'm on for a half hour.
Yeah.
And it's like I gotta. Hey, I like the total. Everybody. All right, AJ, you go first. What do you got, buddy?
I'm gonna defer to you. I don't want to step on your handicap.
I hope everybody knows that I'm teasing. I love AJ. I love Fred. I'm having some fun. I think the Shanahan's vendetta here. He has a vendetta. Is the whole difference. It's not so much running it up. I think he keeps the team focused, and I think the 9.5 is a good bet.
Well, we'll skip down to Ravens Seahawks, and
well, I got to hear about this total.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, first of all, I don't know who's starting it. I don't know who's going to start for the Redskins. I don't feel good about their offense right now. I don't feel any better about it after they fired Jay Gruden because I don't think Jay Gruden was improving that offense, but I don't think going to a run-heavy offense is going to do them any favors, especially against the 49ers right now. And I still think the 49ers, without Juszczyk, without some offensive line, I still think their offense is pretty – I don't want to call it limited, but it's definitely not the strength of their team. So I just think that this total stays pretty low.
I agree, except if there is – do you agree that what we've heard – from Shanahan, and Mike Lombardi said this, and Lombardi is connected. Of any media guy, he's the most connected, I think, right there. And he said Shanahan's got a real vendetta, and he's got a star on the back of the Redskins.
I could see that. Yeah, but I don't know if the Redskins score very much at all in this game. If they hold the Redskins to 10, I think it's an under for sure. Let's skip down to Ravens Seahawks. And I keep being wrong, but I keep saying the Seahawks voodoo has to run out at some point. They are one good player and 21 bad players, yet, and they've won 4 of their 5 games by a total of 8 points. I don't believe in them at all, but they keep making me look stupid, and I guess I'll look stupid once again with the Ravens this week. And I took 3.5. Now it's hovering around 3 with some juice if you want the Seahawks. It's -3, -20. But what do you think of this matchup? Am I crazy to be considering the Seahawks so overvalued at this point?
No. In fact, I've probably caught the most heat this year on the various platforms about being so anti-Seattle. Because I just look at the game or their games, and I was on with Colin today, and he had this game, and he had the Ravens. Now, he took it at 3, and I said, I can't do it at 3. Fezzik likes Seattle at 3. So Colin liked the Ravens. At 3.5, I like the Ravens. At 3, I like Seattle. It's really that big of a half point. Remember, the most common margin of victory. But let's quickly look at Seattle's games. And to me, what I see is a team that almost got beat by the Bengals at home. Now, how bad does that look now?
Horrible.
Then they beat Pittsburgh. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, I said horrible. It's not a good data point.
Yeah. In Pittsburgh, they won impressive, except that's a game Big Ben went down early. It's not only the absence of Big Ben and putting in a guy they didn't expect to play, Rudolph, but also the devastation. That's it. This might be the Big Ben's career. Right? There was a pall over the stadium. And then you against the Saints, you lose a backup quarterback, okay? And then you go in and dominate Arizona. Let's give credit there. No doubt about it. Remember, though, Arizona runs. They're one of 4 teams that runs the Pete Carroll defense. Seattle, Arizona, Jacksonville, Chargers. Pete Carroll knows his defense better than anyone. That's a nice little edge there, but it doesn't change anyone. Then on a Thursday night home game at one of the best venues in football for home field advantage, you should dominate. They win a nail biter because one of the best kickers in the league misses a 30-some yarder. Okay, congratulations. And then against the Browns, another, quite frankly, coin flip. So this team could literally be 1-4. And I hate them. I don't hate them. I hate them. And I don't like the Ravens either, because I do believe this, and it sounds stupid. I believe that progressives politically love Lamar Jackson. And I love the Ringer. I think it's one of the better high IQ sites. You know, I used to write for Grantland, so I guess I have a little affinity for that crew. But it's more I just like the site. If you read what was written after the second week of the season, they said Lamar Jackson is among the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and anyone that doesn't think so doesn't know football. So among the best means top 8, even if you're being liberal. You know, no pun intended. Even if you're saying a bunch of them. Can anyone think that was possibly the case without being biased? It might be one day. It's not now. And to me, I think because of that, Baltimore's getting a lot of love they shouldn't be getting. 2 overrated teams. I want to bet against whoever wins this game next week.
Let me throw one thing out about, at least for this week's game. I think getting Marcus Peters from the Rams is a big difference maker for that Baltimore team, who stylistically, schematically, I guess, they love to blitz, and they've been unable to basically all season because Jimmy Smith got hurt week 1 and they don't have another true cover corner. Marcus Peters ranks it with it. And I know last year Marcus Peters wasn't good. I think he was banged up all last year. But his first 3 seasons, he was great. This season, he ranks in the top 10 for Pro Football Focus on cornerbacks. I think that him and Jimmy Smith back at practice, if they get Jimmy Smith, I think it's a bonus. But I think having a cover corner back there will allow the Ravens to gamble a little bit more defensively, which has been what they've wanted to do back since 2012 when Martindale took over as DC. That's their game plan, is to blitz defensively, and they haven't been able to this year. I think that makes a big difference for this Ravens team this week.
Very savvy, very savvy. The only question I would say is, since Peters doesn't typically play man-to-man, he's more of a zone corner, then it takes longer to integrate. The theory is that that maybe the Rams are going to be able to add their new corner by saying, you go cover that guy, right? That's all you got to know. And with Peters, he's not a very good man-to-man guy, which I think once he's in the defense, he'll be fine, because obviously Ravens knew that. So that's the concern this week.
All right, let's get to we'll skip down to Philly and the Cowboys, a game of two teams that have maybe lost favor in the eyes of bettors between the Eagles and the Cowboys, who have kind of fallen apart in recent weeks. And the Eagles, obviously, is because of health. I don't know what to think about the Cowboys. The Eagles are getting a little bit healthier now. The number's down under a field goal now for the Cowboys, 2.5 at home, which tells me, man, the Cowboys, they've fallen way out of favor for it to drop down below that 3. What do you think of the matchup?
Well, first off, quantify for me how the Eagles are getting healthier.
What I was reading is the Eagles are getting healthier on their offensive line and supposedly going to have one of their corners back this week.
Okay, so I certainly didn't hear that about the corner. So let's accept there are some games you want to bet later based on injuries. I personally have swung in both directions this week, and now I'm sour on both teams. So I really do want to fade the winner next week. I've been one thinking that Philly might be like the third or fourth best team when they're healthy. And then when they went into Green Bay, it kind of proved it to me because that was a big win on a Thursday on the road like that. Whew. You know something? I don't think so. Look at their games. They lost in Atlanta. You want to talk about a loss looking worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then what? And other than Green Bay, what's their second best win? Or what's their second best performance?
I'd have to pull up their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, if you go through it, there's nothing. And, I mean, just talking about, real quick, I'll rapid fire the games off, is Falcons game was it? Redskins they beat. That looks even worse now the way that game went. Falcons, okay. Lions, they were at home, and they lost straight up. That can't be a good game. Packers, okay. Jets, give them credit. They played well, but come on, third-string quarterback. And now Vikings, they get dominated. So if you say against a starting quarterback, you're starting to move to the – it's all atrocious. Well, so I just think – now you might say it's injuries, but how much can the injuries matter? That much?
Well, I mean, they've been missing –
because you miss Roby?
They've been missing their two starting corners, Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby. And from what it looks like, Jalen Mills
– Darby, Roby, whatever his name is.
He says – Mills says
he's – can't mean that much.
He says, I'm in for Sunday. Well, when you start to talk about – you start stacking injuries in at one position group, it does start to mean more.
It does for the first week or two. And then you're getting in replacement level guys. You're picking people off of other practice squads, you know, and whatever the term is today. And I still say taxi squad, but that's a great name, isn't it? Why did they lose that name?
I don't
name?
Know. I think it's embarrassing.
But that's what – it's funny because we swung from being not politically correct, you know, where now we're politically correct. But now we're kind of getting a little edgy in some ways. It seems like that should come back. In fact, I'm going to make it a mission.
Okay. We'll start
using
it here
then. Do you
think
I can do it within 2 years?
No.
Can I do it within 2 years?
I'll help you. We'll help you here, but I don't think it's going to work. All right.
RJ Bone friends trying it.
Can I throw something in here on this? You talk about injuries. The Cowboys had both starting tackles out last week. They'll both be back this week. And two guys that were out on defense. So they're getting healthy too.
I agree.
But still no wide receivers. Amari Cooper's probably going to be out. Michael Gallup's probably going to be out.
Randall Cobb is going to play.
Okay. So Randall Cobb's your number one guy. I don't know if they're taking advantage of that secondary.
You
can't run on the Eagles. You can't run on the Eagles.
Killing this handicap.
Sorry,
you know
RJ.
Something? This is the best handicap I've heard this week. I'm serious. We just all touched on the thinness of the Cowboys receivers is a huge cluster injury issue. The question of is Philly as bad as they seem or was it the cluster injuries? Me thinking you get the guys off the taxi squad. Yes, the taxi squad. After a couple weeks, they should be competent as replacement level. Not saying they're good, but they can't be that bad. And then you add in the offensive line for Dallas. And now I'll add one last piece. I believe that Jason Garrett has lost his team. And I know there's a bunch of media talk, but I'm saying that Chris Canty, who is on, he's an ESPN New York guy, but he's a former player. He said he was watching that game and he saw where Garrett came out and was high five and was getting team. And the defensive players who were having a good game kind of turned their back on him a little bit. It wasn't like, you know, F you. It was just like, we don't want to be involved. I really think that's a bad sign.
All right, that is the great RJ Bell from pregame.com at RJ in Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter. Appreciate you taking all this time today with us earlier in the day than usual. Have a good show with Straight Out of Vegas. I'm sure Fridays are you guys' favorite shows.
Yes. I was just going to say a compliment to you guys. I didn't want to end it. You know, I know you guys lead the book. I know other stations are in turmoil just trying to compete. I get it. But this segment, forget me, the fact that you guys know enough to do this segment, and it really, I mean, this is a professional handicapper that all I do is think about these things. You guys have many other responsibilities, and you're so good at it, and again, I know people appreciate that, because really knowing betting is effectively knowing the sport at a level you're willing to risk money on it, and you guys are. Kudos.
Appreciate the kind words. That is RJ Bell at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com. Check him out there. Check us all out there, in fact. And appreciate the time. RJ, we'll talk to you next week, man.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, I have to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers, and they are doing such a great thing for the community right now. They're doing the one-for-one bed donation, and this benefits the Houston Children's Charity. It's real simple. If you spend $500 or more, they're going to match by giving a mattress to a child in need. And there are so many children in our city that need a bed to sleep on. How about this? You're going to go in, you're going to get a great deal, you're going to save up to 50% off of what you would save at a retail place because you're buying it directly from the factory and they're selling it to you. You're going to sleep better and you're going to do a great thing by helping a kid get a bed. They've got a variety of bed styles to meet your budget and your body. Yuval and the gang over there are fantastic people to do business with, and there's just so many good reasons to go to Texas Mattress Makers. Visit them today. You can go to 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. Or the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed and the best people. TexasMattressMakers.com.
I'm the bad guy. Duh.